This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about barracudas, preserving our mental health, and more.
We also have an inspiring devotional from Dr. John Peckham. Don't go anywhere. Morning. It's a hope-filled morning here on Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us.
Friends, we are so thankful you are here this morning. Is there someone you know who is a smoker? Well, today is the Great American Smokeout Day. Every year on the third Thursday of November is this very important day known as the Great American Smokeout.
It's the perfect day for smokers to remove all smoking-related items from their home and take the first step towards quitting smoking for life. Mm-hmm. So if you're a smoker, we encourage you to join the movement. If someone you know is a smoker, take the time to gently encourage them to join the movement today and quit smoking once and for all.
Amen. Friends, we are so excited to be here this morning, and it's our desire that our program today will multiply the hope you have in Jesus and help you to share it with others.
And later on today's program, we have a special feature on mental health, and we can't wait to share that with you. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1877, Thomas Edison announced his invention of the phonograph, a device for recording and playing back sound. While working on a method to record telephone communications at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, Edison experimented with a stylus on a tinfoil cylinder. To his astonishment, it played back the short song he had recorded, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Public demonstrations of the phonograph catapulted the Yankee inventor to fame, earning him the nickname Wizard of Menlo Park.
You know, friends, just as Edison stumbled upon a remarkable invention while working towards a different goal, we can trust that God has a purpose for our lives, even when the path seems unclear. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God assures us, "For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, God has unique gifts and callings for each one of us that can impact the world in ways we may not yet understand. So let us approach our endeavors with faith, knowing that our efforts, no matter how small, can lead to significant outcomes in God's timing. So trust that God is guiding you, even through the unexpected turns of life.
Amen. Well, like a bold barracuda gliding through the ocean depths, its sleek form belies a reputation for danger. Yet, beneath those sharp teeth lies a gentle spirit, gracefully navigating its surroundings with a quiet confidence. In a world where fear often precedes understanding, let us remember that even the fiercest creatures possess a softer side, waiting to be discovered by those who approach with a curious mind and an open heart. Travel with us as Taj Pakhlab takes us on a marvelous journey this morning to discover more about our master designer.
Nestled in the heart of the Philippines is a small island known as the Island of Fire. The Spaniards coined this nickname because the island gave off an eerie glow caused by the numerous fireflies at night. This piece of paradise has been a well-kept secret amongst travelers seeking unspoiled beauty, cultural heritage, and even a touch of mysticism. Scattered across this enchanted island are welcoming waterfalls, white sandy beaches, lush jungles, centuries-old churches, and legendary landmarks. But what's beneath the surface is just as enchanting. Here we find a school of lessons for a meaningful life, a mesmerizing fish with fascinating features that are worth emulating. Please consider with me the power of gentleness as we observe the benevolent barracuda of Sikihon. On the northeast shore of Sikihor Island, is the Tulapos Marine Sanctuary, the home of schools of pelican barracudas. These formidable predators are a sight to behold. Their sleek silver bodies, serious faces, razor-sharp teeth, and impressive speed have earned them a reputation as fearsome hunters, and rightly so. With elongated bodies designed for agility and a set of razor-sharp teeth for capturing prey, they are considered apex hunters of the ocean. And when we picture these fierce predators with their frightening features and voracious appetites, fear comes to mind. The first instinct of most is to avoid these dangerous creatures at all costs. But there's more to the story than meets the eye. Beneath the tranquil waters of Shikihor, we observe a different side of these remarkable fish, a calmness and gentleness that may surprise even the most seasoned diver. One fascinating feature of the barracudas is their tendency to form schools. These schools can go up to hundreds of barracudas swimming together in unison. The sight of a swirling barracuda school is a breathtaking spectacle. It's like a whirling vortex of eyes and teeth, an underwater tornado of life. Partly driven by their instinct for safety in numbers, this behavior also hints at their cooperative and social nature. Barracudas also display a curious and inquisitive side. Rather than darting away in fear, as most fish would do, some barracudas will approach divers with a cautious interest, seemingly intrigued by the human presence. While barracudas are undoubtedly skilled hunters, they're also known to exhibit a passive and patient approach to their surroundings. Instead of constantly prowling for prey, they often hover motionless in the water, observing their environment with a stillness that seems contrary to their predatory status. This shows that many times patience is more profitable than sheer power and prowess. The best way to interact with these captivating creatures is to go diving with them. However, it's essential to approach this activity with caution and prioritize safety above all else. Interactions with them should be done with utmost care and under the supervision of experienced professionals. But don't let unfounded fears hold you back. Never be afraid to explore more away from the shore. Descending into the deep blue, I found myself surrounded by a swirling vortex of barracudas. Their graceful movements, gliding in and out of sight, create a mesmerizing underwater ballet. In their natural habitat, these peaceful predators will let you swim with them as one. There's nothing quite like being surrounded in an underwater school of eyes and teeth. It is truly an exhilarating experience. But it's not merely a visual treat. There's a profound lesson we can draw from the breathtaking barracudas of Shikihor. So please listen carefully. Strength, speed, and power. These are the attributes that have engrossed humans from the beginning of time. From athletes and warriors to everyday individuals seeking self-improvement, we strive to be strong and fast, influential and powerful. But that's not all we're called to do in life. The gentle side of Shikihor's barracudas serves as a reminder that just because you may be strong, fast, influential, and powerful, doesn't mean that you can't be kind, humble, gentle, and gracious. We're called to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. For me, the most attractive people are those who've learned to balance and blend the contrasting characteristics of wisdom and innocence, strength and compassion, confidence and humility, power and benevolence. And in a world that often celebrates supremacy and dominance, may this remind you today to also cultivate kindness, humility, and gentleness. And like the swirling school of barracudas, keep in mind that there's safety in numbers. We need each other to survive and thrive. So know your strength, but never use it to bully or harm others. Know your power, but don't let it get to your head. Instead, nurture your curious and inquisitive nature. Be open to learning something from everyone, whether in positions of authority or vulnerability. Choose to be kind, learn to be gentle, and remember that no act of kindness, however small, is ever wasted. So seize every opportunity to contribute to the happiness of those around you. Words of kindness, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation, and deeds of love. These are the attributes and activities and the attitudes that make life beautiful and meaningful. More than strength and power and worldly ambition, let us make it our life aim to live peacefully with all men, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. These are some of the lessons I've learned from the benevolent barracudas of Sikihor. Now, you don't need to swim with them in order to learn these lessons, but if you have the chance, why not? Personal experience is the greatest teacher, and a personal encounter is far better than a second-hand testimony. So as we explore more here in Sikihor, I encourage you to go out and do the same wherever you're at. Let nature be your classroom and the Creator your teacher. For if we can learn from the barracuda, imagine what else is possible. So I'll see you in the next adventure. Aloha.
We have more exciting things to share with you this morning, but we have to take a quick break. When we return, we have a special feature on mental health. And later, John Peckham shares a devotional thought with us.
And if you're enjoying today's program, share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back.
What does peace mean to you? Think for a minute. It is common to think of peace as the opposite of war, as the absence of conflict, as rest from turmoil. But if we think of peace as something conditioned to external agents, we may underestimate the restlessness we've all been plunged into. The pace imposed by technology has altered the rhythm of life, the priority of things, and even the way we perceive time. As a result, our anxiety levels rise, our ability to sleep decreases, our will to be still disappears. The conflict is not only around us, it is within us. The lack of peace is a plague, but there is hope. However, the Bible does not present peace as a feeling, but as a person. Jesus Christ is not only the victor in the great controversy, but also a great conflict solver and a constant presence, even in times of storm. So if you've looked for peace anywhere else, think for a minute about reaching out to Christ. He has promised to give us peace that surpasses all understanding.
You know, our own mental health is vitally important. Often we think we have to look after everyone else, and how often we forget about ourselves, taking care of ourselves, especially our mental health. However, it impacts everyone in our family when we don't. The Parenting Place is back with us here today to share an important tips on preserving our mental health, even whilst taking care of others.
Anxiety, phobias, depression, they're all very common amongst parents. And too many people limp on through their parenting years with that poor mental health. They cope like people cope when they're driving in the rain. They slow down, they put the wipers on, but they're not enjoying the drive. They're just keeping on going. And this is similar to how many people keep going with their depression and anxiety. They don't want to make a fuss or embarrass themselves by getting help. They don't believe the help will help them. They're functioning, they're sort of coping, but life is so bleak. Yes, some of these parents can carry on through these tough times, and some people do it for years. But your poor mental health really impacts your family, your partner, and your kids. They suffer as well. As parents, we need to really model to our children good ways to care for our mental health. And the good news is, help does help. Start with your doctor. Counselors and ministers, they can help as well. You might not feel better straight away, but maybe the clouds will start to lift. And eventually you'll be amazed at how the sun has come out again in your world. You'll be better off, and so will your family.
It's now time for a break, but after the break, we'll have today's devotional thought by Dr. John Peckham. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by John Peckham.
Suppose the Girl Scouts came to your house asking for a donation every day. You said no. They came again the next day. You said no again. And they came again, and again, and again. Finally, they promised you one day that they wouldn't come back for a very long time if only you would give them a small donation. Eventually, you might cave in, right? Because of their persistence, or because they just kept coming shamelessly. Jesus once told a parable of a man who went to his friend at midnight, and he asked him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." From his home, the friend answered, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." Then Jesus explained, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." Now, this parable is sometimes interpreted as teaching that our prayers will be answered if we pray with enough persistence. But in the parable, it's interesting that the man actually asks only one time. Further, the translation of the words "because of his persistence" is actually a questionable translation. Close study of the Greek term suggests it should be translated "shamelessness." What is the point of the parable then? The point is not as much about the questioner, but about the one of whom the requests are made. Specifically, the parable sets up a contrast between the one who answers his friend's request and the way God responds to the requests of his people. Upon first glance, you might assume the man who is reluctant to answer his friend's requests represents God. But the opposite is true. The reluctant friend stands as a contrastive example that goes as follows. If even this man who is reluctant to help and considers such a request bothersome will help in the end, how much more can we count on God to respond to our prayers? Think back to the Girl Scout story that I told at the beginning. Most of you might give a donation the first time, either because you're so generous or maybe because you love Girl Scout cookies. Mint are my favorite. God also doesn't need to be pestered. He is good all the time. And he wants to bestow blessings on you. This perfectly aligns with Jesus' teaching a few verses later. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why ask then? And does persistence in prayer matter in the first place? First, asking makes a difference according to Christ's teaching. Christ clearly teaches right after telling that parable, he taught ask, seek, and knock. Specifically, Jesus taught, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Why does asking, seeking, and knocking matter though? It can't be because it makes God more disposed toward doing good. God already desires only what is good for us. He always wants what is best for us, and he already knows what we need before we ask. So something else must be going on here. Somehow the rules of prayer must be such that asking can, at least in some cases, open up avenues for God to work that otherwise are not available to him in light of his perfect character and his commitments. What about persistence? Does that matter? Well, even if the parable of the friend at midnight is not about persistence, but about the goodness of God, who wants to always give us good gifts, another parable Jesus tells is directly about persistence. Specifically, Jesus told another parable of a persistent widow and an unjust judge. This unjust judge neither feared God nor had respect for people. The widow kept going to this judge, pleading, "Grant me justice against my accuser." For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." Here again, this unjust judge, this judge who has no concern for others, cannot represent God. God is perfectly good. God is perfectly just. God is perfectly loving. The opposite of this unjust judge. So this judge in the parable is another contrastive example. If even an unjust judge, with no regard for others, will nevertheless respond to the widow's persistent pleas for justice, how much more can God be counted on to answer our prayers for justice? Thus, Jesus explains, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. Luke himself states this is a parable about continual, persevering prayer. A parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Why might persistence matter then? Is it to convince God to want to bestow good things on you? No. God already wants to bless you. Can you imagine a child asking her father for something good, and then her father gives her something horrible instead? Only an evil father would do that. But God is perfect love. Thus Jesus teaches, is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why might persistence matter then? Not because God needs to be convinced, but perhaps the timing is not right due to the other factors involved. Or perhaps avenues are not yet available to God in light of his perfect character and his commitments. But avenues might open up later if we don't lose heart in the meantime. As we saw in part earlier, sometimes an answer to our prayer might be delayed by other factors, such as when God's angel was opposed by the Prince of Persia for 3 weeks. Many unseen factors operate in this cosmic conflict, during which we are to pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done, precisely because God's kingdom is not yet here in fullness, and God's will is often not done here on earth now. Given this, persevering in faith and prayer without losing heart is of utmost importance. We should not be surprised when we as followers of Christ face hardship. Jesus himself warned us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In the end, God will make all things right, even if now we walk through trying times of distress. So whatever befalls you, do not give up. Keep on praying always, and even if your request is not granted, praying itself will draw you closer to God, and you will receive other answers you didn't expect, at least in the form of spiritual blessings. And those kinds of spiritual blessings, those kinds of blessings, after all, are the kind that last forever.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Peckham.
And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with others, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at the same time. We'll have a moving devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley and more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
And before we go, we have a Bible promise for today.
That's right. And today's Bible promise says,
and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19.
You know, friends, today is the perfect day to remember that no matter your struggles or needs today, God has promised to meet them all.
Amen. Friends, we have enjoyed our time together with you today, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how good it is that we don't even need to verbally express in words what our needs are. You can read us like an open book. You know our hearts. You know our silent prayers. And today, Lord, we pray that you would put your arms around us, comfort us, give us strength, and fill us with hope. And for that, we are very thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.